This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanisan. Now, stock splits and bonus issue shares have come up quite often over the most recent earnings quarter. Just this week, tech giant Apple and the world's most valuable automaker Tesla split their shares. On the local front, we've also seen Malaysian firms like Top Glove and Supermax proposing bonus issues to reward shareholders. Now, what do these corporate exercises actually mean to the value of a company and to the shareholders' bottom line? To help me explore this, I'm speaking with Danny Wong, CEO of Erica Capital, fund manager and certified financial planner. Danny, welcome back to Ringgit and Cents.
Thank you, Roshan. Thank you for having me here.
Now, Danny, a stock split is a corporate action in which a company simply increases the number of outstanding shares by issuing more shares to current shareholders, essentially making shares more affordable from a price perspective while maintaining the market capitalization of the company. Long story short, it doesn't technically change the market value of a company, but it does decrease the price in proportion to the increase in number of shares. It's simple division. So if it doesn't change the value of a company, then why do this corporate exercise?
All right, like what you say, the stock splits, basically there's no real economic value to the exercise before and after the split. So, but there is still serving certain purpose. So conventionally, it's meant to lower the share price by making more shares available to the market. You know, it is also aimed for marketability of the shares, affordability and the liquidity. So this is the main purpose of having the stock split. It is good for small investors who seek good company stock within their affordability. Now, some investors actually consider this as a bull or buy signal when they heard about, you know, stock split especially, because they think that the company is doing well in the past, the share price has run up, and therefore it will continue to do well in the future. So, but the investor got to be advised to look at the valuation rather than these few good factors. You know? So like what you have mentioned, the latest news was that we saw Tesla 5-for-1 stock split. So when the share price has gained more than 400% to hit 2002 at the closing on Friday. But after the Monday split, where the investor will get four more stocks after the split of the existing stock, the share price actually adjusted to $440 level. So that itself is explained that it make people to buy one lot at $400 rather than one lot at $2,000 per share.
Right. There are two terms you mentioned there. Liquidity and marketability is one factor, right? So you're essentially changing the price structure of a stock. So for example, if we're looking at Tesla, let's say if it was $2,000 a share, now that's very expensive. Yeah. It's not very, the reachability for some small investors is not there. Now you split the stock by four, it becomes or by five, it becomes $500. Yeah. The market value still remains the same because the number of shares outstanding have increased. So you're essentially making it more liquid. Now there was another important thing I think you mentioned was the perception from a psychological point of view to the investor, right, that it either is a bull or bearish signal. Could you maybe dive into that a little bit? What is the psychological value to a stock split from a corporation's point of view or from an investor's point of view?
All right. So when a company share price run up, let's say we take the same example of Tesla, it's run up 400%, theoretically, people would think that this is a good company. That's why there are a lot of people buying this company and then chase up this share price with this. And in that sense, that also their investor believe that the share will continue to do well in future. So when the stock split, become more share. So in the sense that to certain investors, they would think that, oh, now I got more share. Therefore, in future, I will sounds like I will reinvest my the so-called the profit of this company into more share, and then the share continue to do well, the company continue to do well, then I can ride on this capital gain over time and hope for a better dividend in future. So this is something to do with the what the investor believe in, you know. So when a stock split, the total value doesn't change theoretically. So it's end up holding more shares and with the adjusted share price. But if people believe that the future of this share continue to be good, then they do mind to hold more shares so that they will get more value in future, right? But then looking back, actually the stock split, if you take the analogy to it, it's actually like you're buying a piece of cake that you cut into four pieces, but then you want more, enjoy more pieces, then you cut further half, so become eight pieces. But at the end of the day, you're still taking one pie of cake. It doesn't take more. It's subject to future whether this cake will grow or not. You know, so that is the psychology to the investor.
Right, but when you do a stock split, it becomes more marketable. So you may see more investors maybe because they can afford it, they start buying it, and that could help in the stock price in the longer term. Like if you imagine Amazon, I think, trades at $3,000 a share right now. It's very inaccessible to a lot of investors. But if they did maybe a 5 or a 10 stock split and make it $300, it changes the dynamic of who buys that kind of stock.
Yes, it's true. Even in the local scenario, like our Nestle, for example, it's 140 ringgit. So 140 ringgit, one lot, let's say at 100 shares, is already 14,000. So to some investor, they may have maybe 20,000. Just to buy one lot or 100 shares already cost them 14,000. They cannot diversify into other shares, you see. For a portfolio of holding a good share with, let's say, 5 stocks, you need to have a very affordable pricing. So maybe they like Nestle. If they like Nestle want to do, let's say, 10-for-1 split, then you make it like, instead of 140 ringgit, become 14 ringgit. Then I can buy 100 share, which is 1,004. And then I can afford it into my portfolio that consists 10 other stocks as well. So then it make a portfolio make sense that own this kind of company that can constant paying some dividend in my portfolio, yet I can have other similar stock in my portfolio, so I achieve a diversification. But if the stock is too high the price, I cannot do that.
Now, another thing when we take a look at corporate exercises, Danny, is what is called the bonus issue. And we've seen some of our local rubber glove players like Top Glove and Supermax do this. I think Top Glove proposed a 2 bonus share for every 1 existing. What is a bonus issue?
All right, to me, bonus, the old days, actually bonus is actually a new issue, increase the share price, share base, and split that into, split that to increase the marketability and liquidity as well, old days. So bonus, in fact, is actually issuing a new share to investors by, capitalize the share premium account. There's under the old Companies Act 1965. The effect is similar to the stock split. But the new Companies Act 2016, the bonus and stock split to me is no different, because after the Companies Act 2016 was implemented and give a grace period of 2 years, effectively now, all companies, especially listed companies, will not have share premium and other reserves account for the declaration of a bonus. So in short, in fact, in the Companies Act, they only recognize this word called stock split. They don't have this word bonus. So therefore, under the no par value regime, there's no such thing of a bonus issue. In fact, it's just a stock split. It's the same effect, in fact. It is actually increase the number of share by the base without changing the assets or the value of the company.
So why do companies then issue bonus shares using that term?
Again, it's actually the same purpose, to reduce the share price, to make the share more marketable and also more affordable, and also provide liquidity to smaller investors.
Now, from some of the reading I've done, sometimes they issue bonus shares from the company's treasury, right?
Yes.
And then when you do something like that, it looks like a form of dividend payment, but in form of stock instead. Is that correct to say?
Yes, but we don't call it a bonus issue on that. We call it a dividend in species. That means a stock dividend rather than cash dividend. It sounds like a dividend payment, but in stock. So that is actually, they pay the so-called reserve or premium account in the form of stocks rather than cash.
So Danny, when we take a look at the local scene, even though the term may be used separately, for all intents and purposes, stock splits and bonus issues are effectively the same thing?
Yes, it is the same now under the new Companies Act 2016.
Now, Danny, we're going to talk about dividend payments in just a little bit and its impact on a company's value. You're listening to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanisen. This morning, I'm speaking with Danny Wong, CEO of Erica Capital, fund manager and certified financial planner. And we're talking about stock splits, bonus issues and dividends. Earlier in this conversation, we already addressed the concept of stock splits and bonus issues. Now, Danny, I want to focus on the concept of dividend payments. This is something that's very popular among some investors because it's a nice feeling to get a cash payment from the company you're invested in. But while it does sound nice, on the bottom line, does it actually matter to an investor considering that the company is basically giving out money or cash from its balance sheet?
There are two points that I want to mention. One is actually why people like cash dividend. And the other one is actually why people like to keep the cash with the company and so that they have a more value to them in the future. But let's assess what is dividend. Dividends are a form of corporate earnings. So again, under the new company, the board must consider the solvency before they then declare dividend out of profit, right? So only companies that make good earnings and have no solvency indication in the near future, in the next 12 months, can make dividend under the New Companies Act. You know? So that means that the company must demonstrate that the earnings capacity and also the financial strength is there before they can make dividend. So this is about message to a company future prospect and also performance. But not all the earnings were for company so that they may have some cash, but they do need all the cash for the future growth or reinvesting in the future growth. That's why they use the cash for dividend payment. So when you ask about why companies still pay dividend, because in actual fact that dividend is a form of immediate reward. It's a cash reward to investors that can reuse the cash for some other things or can buy the same stock again. Well, if a company don't pay the cash as a form of reward to investor in the term of dividends, the money will be investing back to the company's business. So long as the company doing well, I think it becomes a growth stock rather than a income-driven stock. So that is the difference to certain investors. Some investors that require cash flow. Some investor is a long-term investor that look for growth stock. So they will classify certain stock in certain category. So it will attract certain investor in certain form. But if a management don't declare a cash dividend, it means that they will reinvest the cash for future prospect. It also means that as an investor, you are looking at future growth than the current reward. But if you get a cash dividend, it's the instant reward in terms of cash term.
Yeah, but it's not money out of thin air, right? It's as you mentioned, it's money that's given up from the earnings of a company. Essentially, as a shareholder, you own a piece of this company. And if you own any other business, I mean, end of the day, after a while, you do want to take some earnings out of the business, right? Beyond a salary. That's what you call the profit side of it. Does it have an impact on the stock price, though, Danny? Because I've seen some companies on the ex-dividend day where they've dipped on those days.
Yes. If the dividend is actually quite significant, it will adjust by itself because it's actually come from the company. So the company, the cash is part and partial of the assets of the company. So when a company declare a dividend, means that they effectively return the assets to the investor. So the net asset of the company will reduce. Therefore, it will reflect in the share price proportionally, theoretically.
Theoretically, but of course, when we do take a look at the market, how investors actually behave, that's a completely different situation. But the bottom line here is that it's important to remember that the company is not giving money out of thin air. It is coming from the company. And more often than not, when we take a look at stock price or market valuation, in theory, it should reflect the value of that company. And giving out cash is giving out value. As a long-term investor, this is the situation that comes into play, right? But should you look at growth companies or big companies? Should you be looking at dividend-paying companies? What are your thoughts on this? Should I be looking into companies that are growing and maximizing the cash on their books to and investing it or giving out dividends?
All right. Cash flow is actually very important to certain shareholders or certain investors, especially institutions or certain belongs to the group of companies where they require cash flow from their investment. Paying dividends actually send a clear message about a company's future prospect and performance and the willingness or an ability to pay steady reward to investor over time. And this actually provide a very solid message or demonstrate that of the financial strength of a company. So this may apply appeal to certain group of investors where they think that the cash flow is important to them, and then therefore they will invest, continue to invest in this company which provide more steady cash flow. At the same time, cash paying company usually a good defensive investment where because of the cash continue paying, so there are more people willing to hold it for longer term. So when the downturn, this stock paying company become more defensive than a growth stock. But on the other hand, you're right, there are certain group of people also would like to see the management of the company continue reinvesting their cash generated for a future growth, then so that they can bring even more value to them in the future. So this is the concept of growth rather than cash dividend to the investor. So this growth investor may sit there for long term, but want to see the value growing at a bigger percentage than they get cash and reinvest the cash at a lower yield. So to them, if I get cash, I may reinvest into other investment, but I believe that this company can grow even higher yield than what I get from the cash. I'd rather reinvest my cash with the company. That means I hope that the management will reinvest my cash in the company and growing even further at the better rates. So this is the hope of those investors that wanting the management to keep growing the company without paying a huge cash out of dividend.
So a typical example of this would be if you look at tech stocks versus banks, right? So most of the banks we have are very mature companies. They're very big as it is. And when it comes to reinvesting, there's not much that they can really reinvest in considering how big they already are. Whereas the tech sector is perpetually growing and it is virtual. So it's a different paradigm there. When you look at dividend paying companies, Danny, what are some of the most important things to pay attention to? Because they're not all created equal, correct?
Oh, yeah. It depends on certain business. So dividend, they are regular dividend, depends on dividend policies. And they are also extra dividend, so-called. That means could be one-off dividend or once a blue moon kind, or so-called special dividends. So these dividends come when they dispose of certain assets, and they never, it's not a recurring. So they declare this special dividend. So for dividend paying company, you have to look at the feature of this company, the ability to generate cash flow to pay the dividend in the near future over time. So if the policy, let's say having about 60% payout from the earnings, you must make sure that the company actually continue earn this kind of return so that they are able to keep paying this dividend, 60% of the cash flow as a dividend to the investors. So the study of this company's ability to generate cash flow is very important.
So paying attention to things, whether they have a dividend policy, what their consistent earnings are, and historical dividend yields, would these be the things to pay attention to?
Oh, yes, of course, provided there's no change in their business.
All right, Danny, thank you so much for your time today. I think we've gone through quite extensively a few of these corporate exercises. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
I've been speaking with Danny Wong, CEO of Erica Capital, fund manager and certified financial planner. Now, remember, with all possible investments and strategies, you have to do your own homework into it, keeping your risk profile and financial goals in mind. You've been listening to Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanasan for BFM 89.9.
Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.